is the bread of life, and it is taken from a passage in John chapter 6 and verse 35, where Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." We're going to talk a little bit about that in the lesson this morning. I would like to begin, however, by turning over to having a little bit of trouble for some reason with my voice this morning. I would like you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 to begin our time together. Matthew chapter 6. And to note something we are all familiar with is that bread is kind of a staple food. Now, there are some who don't eat it because of dietary concerns, but it has and has always been the grain, which leads to the flour, which leads to the bread, something that helps to sustain us as we live here on this earth. It is interesting that when you go to the grocery store, a lot of times we have towards the back and surrounding the walls of the store what we call the staples, the things that everybody needs and everybody wants, and then towards the fronts all the frivolous things that you want to get as you leave. And they do that for a very good reason. You have to buy some, you don't have to buy others. Bread is something that we typically do need to have, and mankind has always needed. And that is one of the primary reasons why that figure is used in our discussion of spiritual needs and spiritual sustenance, as given by that passage in John chapter 6 of our Lord. We are told in both Deuteronomy 8 and also in Matthew chapter 4 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that indicates that there is a spiritual need that exists as well as a physical need, and an individual who just eats bread, that's all he is sustaining. He's not taking care of something that is much more important, which is the spiritual. But it does indicate, again, how important bread is to our physical existence and our physical sustenance. But having said that, as we note from that passage, it is important for man to feed his soul as well as his body. And in fact, that we should care even more about feeding our souls with what we alluded to in John 6 and verse 34, the bread of life, than we should be about feeding our bodies. I don't know if any of us is going to go hungry today, or that has decided that from now on they're just not going to eat. They would waste away to nothing, and eventually they would lose their life. We understand the importance of sustaining ourselves physically through what we eat and what we drink, but again, too seldom do we put as a priority, as a preeminent need, the spiritual need to sustain our souls. And that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, and going through the end of the chapter, in verse 33 of the text. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or 'What shall we drink?' Or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of God, excuse me, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, one of the things we're going to talk about in our lesson, understanding that we are, of course, to be industrious, we are to be diligent to work, but recognize the providence of God as it extends to mankind. It extends to us both spiritually as well as physically, and we should not be overly concerned. yes, active, yes, industrious, but not overly worried or anxious about the physical sustenance that we receive in life, because it is something that God has providentially offered to us if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so we need to put first things first. And the first thing that we should ensure is sustained and is given the needed ingredients to grow and to prosper is the spiritual man rather than the physical man. And that's where John chapter 6 and verses 33, 35, in fact, that entire passage comes into play. In John chapter 6 and verse 33, he said that the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so that life is a different life. We are not to take this in any way that God sent Jesus to feed us physically. That's not what's under consideration here in this particular context, unlike the one in Matthew chapter 6. All we're saying here is that that which sustains us and our spiritual life for now and for eternity is Jesus Christ, as indicated in John 6 and verse 35. And so we want to talk a little bit about a partaking of the bread of life, which is brought to us by Jesus Christ, or that is Jesus himself, and what that involves. And there are basically 4 points that I want to make, simple points to make in the lesson today. And I want to note again verse 35 of the text when Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life, he who comes to me." So when we're talking about the spiritual sustenance, as we alluded to at the beginning of our time together, it's not something that everyone takes as a priority in their life. Some are interested, some are seeking after it, some indeed are not. And that is seen in that phrase, "he who comes to me." So if we come to Jesus, we will not hunger. He who believes in Jesus will not thirst. So, of course, we have the other imagery that we find concerning the sustenance that Jesus supplies, and that is he is the water of life. He is the bread of life, and he is the water of life. If you want to get to two staple things, things that are needed physically to sustain a man, it's bread and water. And, in fact, that is the basis of sustenance and has always been recognized as such from the beginning of time. Spiritually, the same thing is true. And so when Jesus says that he is the bread of life and that he is the water of life and indicates that coming to him assures you of eternal sustenance, we begin to understand just how important this indeed is. And so when we look at this world and consider ourselves as men, we understand that generally what we do is follow our heart's desire. And there are some, I hope and pray that we are of that ilk in the congregation today, that our desire is to serve Christ. That's our heart's desire. But often it is not that. Often they are desires of a worldly nature rather than a spiritual nature. But the man of God who truly desires spiritual strength, it's going to be something that he seeks after. It's going to be something he diligently applies himself to. He's going to look for. He's going to take hold of the bread of life. He is going to come to Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 in verse 28, "To come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The strength that is needed for survival, the strength that allows us, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," to do what is necessary for our soul's eternal standing with God, they are to be found solely within that relationship we sustain with Jesus Christ. And so the person who desires that, he's going to come to Jesus. You understand that. I mean, if I want to get strong physically, I go to the gym, or I go work out with weights, or I go somewhere to do something. If I want to gain knowledge, used to be I go to the library. Perhaps now I go to Google, at least in part. That's not the best place to go. But if you want to grow in some way, physically or mentally or spiritually, you have to approach whatever it is that will gain you that strength. And in regard to spiritual matters, it is Jesus himself. We must see Jesus as the source of our spiritual sustenance and our survival. Romans chapter 10, you'll remember the Apostle Paul saying that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call on him who have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, when we look at the same illustration with regard to physical sustenance, if we are interested in culinary arts, we're going to look to the chef. If we're listening, we're looking to physical prowess, we're going to look for the trainer. We're going to go and get benefit from these things, these individuals, and we're going to cast our confidence in them if indeed they are certified, they are capable, and that's really what the Apostle Paul is saying here, that God has chosen to save mankind through the preaching of the gospel. The foolishness of the gospel preaching. By the way, this is not talking about the pulpit preacher. We're talking about anyone who deigns to proclaim the gospel of our Lord to someone else. How beautiful are the feet of the one who proclaims the gospel of peace. And there are so many in the world who are looking for something. We're going to see that in our 10 o'clock hour as we look at the parable of the wedding feast. No, excuse me, that's on Thursdays. The pearl of great price, those who are seeking something and they find it. But I got it kind of mixed up. I actually prepared this morning for the Thursday class that I'm preaching. That's about 10 weeks behind where we are. So I had to rush and prepare for the wedding feast this morning, for the Sunday morning class this morning. Got confused in my head. But having said that, we do know the recognition, or have the recognition in our hearts, that we must look to these things. We must look to those who can supply these things. And then we must embrace what it is that they have to offer. And if I am offered from someone the knowledge of how it is that I can embrace Christ, then I am certainly grateful for the opportunity that is supplied to me to become stronger spiritually, to be sustained, so that I might live eternally. And that is something that is important in our consideration, coming, first of all, to Christ. But not only coming, in other words, not just the hearing of the gospel, the willingness to listen to what needs to be said to me to gain this coming to Jesus. But belief is, of course, something that's involved in this. You'll notice belief and obedience. That's what coming to Jesus is. Believing in him and obeying him, that's coming to Jesus. And so when we're talking about this relationship with Jesus Christ that affords us a hope of eternal life, that eternal sustenance, we have to recognize that it comes as a result of these efforts that we make, but it's talking about conversion. It's talking about being born again to life. In order for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, we have to be born again, born of the water and born of the Spirit. And so we have to believe. And John in chapter 6 and verse 35, looking there again, he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me shall not thirst. And so there he is using both of the references, both the bread of life and the water of life, and making the point that he is making. We must believe in Jesus Christ in order for our soul to be sustained for eternity. Now some might ask why that is, and the very simple answer, it is because God has ordained it to be so. Jesus is the one, the only begotten of the Father, that God chose or anointed to be the Savior of mankind. Men who look elsewhere and they think to themselves that I can be sustained spiritually by going to some other guru or some other individual and they have something that can help me spiritually, it's simply not so. There are words of sophistry that exist in the world today religiously. There are many false religions, and there are many false philosophies that will only bring death. Someone says, well, they bless me. I like it. I like what I hear. Well, I understand that, but that's a man going the direction he desires rather than the direction that God desires. And while that may bring some semblance of joy in your life while you live on this earth, it is incapable of bringing eternal life, because there is one way, a soul way, for us to come to Christ, and that is through faith in Him. Believing not only, of course, means accepting that Jesus exists or who He is, but obeying what He says. The Bible teaches that the words of Jesus are spirit and they are life. That's also found in John 6, this time in verse 63 of the text. So that gets us to the third point, and that is the power of Christ's words to nourish your soul are applied not only when you believe, but also only if you obey them. Now, again, the religious world doesn't recognize this often, but the words of Jesus are very simple in this. For example, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 of the text, the question is asked, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Excuse me, I put that as in John. That's in Luke. Luke 6 and verse 46. And James describes a man who does not sincerely obey the gospel in order to be saved. In James chapter 1 and verses 21 through 25, he tells us to lay aside filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Here is that imagery of belief in Jesus as the bread of life. But he said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, because you deceive yourselves. You deceive yourselves if you're only a hearer. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man will be blessed in what he does. And again, there are so many passages that we can turn to that all teach the same thing. It's necessary for an individual to be obedient to the words of Christ. We're to be not those who are hearers only, those who are not willing to apply the things that God has required of us by grace to save us. But there are many who are unwilling to do that. And so you have to ask yourself, does obedience describe you? Are you really and truly living the kind of life in response to the invitation of the gospel that would allow Jesus to say to you at the end of time, well done, that good and faithful servant, enter ye in to my rest, which is the eternal life that the bread of life secures for you. And so it's obvious that it is necessary that you not only believe, but that you be obedient to Christ in order to receive the bread of life. And that gets us to our final point in this short lesson that we're going to share with you, and that is that we are rewarded by Christ. Understand, the one who supplies the bread is the one who does indeed reward us. This is alluded to in John chapter 6. Notice verse 51. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So we see the part that Christ plays in this to supply for us this bread of life. We're told in verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. And so it's really that simple and profound that if you want to live eternally, there is one who can supply you the sustenance that is needed, the bread of life and the water of life. You partake of it in Him by believing in Him and obeying Him. And if that is the case, He being the one who can sustain you, He being the one who can deliver to you the sustenance by giving of Himself to give you that eternal life, He'll reward you if you'll come to Him. And so we are rewarded by Christ. To go to heaven, you have to partake of Christ. To come to Him, you must believe and obey Him. And then you're brought into a spiritual fellowship with Jesus Christ, where every spiritual blessing is found, including not only things that will happen on this earth, but when we're given the promise of the blessings of God, we are told that we will be given great blessings with persecutions, but ultimately we will be given eternal life. There, let me leave you with just a few of these passages, and then we'll draw our lesson to a close. The first one is found in our text of John chapter 6 in verses 56 and 57 that says that he who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, abides in me, and I abide in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, and so he who feeds on me will live because of me. It's just as simple as we put it, and I think that is the way in which is best defining this concept of the bread of life. It's a metaphor. It is used to understand, as we do physically, the concept of sustenance with our involvement of Jesus. But when he states it very clearly, I live because of the Father, and you will live because of me. That's something we can hold to and we understand as being a promise that comes from God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul, pronouncing a benediction upon God, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Again, the sole bread of life. There are no other breads of life, not that sustain you eternally. But there is that in Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, we have a hope. That hope is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. So here's another imagery, the idea of an anchor that enters the presence behind the veil. That reference is Christ. The forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You see the nature of this offering of Jesus? It is a unique offering. It is not one that can be supplied by others, and though there are others who claim that, it is solely at his behest that we have an eternal presence with God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5, Peter does basically the same thing as Paul did in Ephesians 1. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why is that? Because according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so that's just another way of saying, God, thank you so much. Blessed be God because of what you have done for us through the one you chose, Jesus Christ, and what he has accomplished on this earth. We can rightly say he's the bread of life, and our eternal destiny can be sustained with God because of what Christ has done for us. And so we are told in John chapter 6 and verse 27 of the text, don't labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. So keep that in mind as we draw our lesson to a close. Recognize that our souls hang in the balance. Are we going to make the impetus of our life, the preeminent thing in our life, the central point of our life to get rich or to get what we want materially, to get by in this life, to further our careers, to further our lives, or are we going to center our thoughts upon spiritual things? Is it going to be most important for us to labor for the food, that is the bread of life, that is the water of life, that is Jesus Christ, and from that gain everlasting life? We have a hope and a prayer that there may be one who is here this morning who, if they have a need to respond to the gospel, will do so. We don't know why that would be. It may be for baptism. It may be simply because you need to repent publicly for a sin that you've committed, or maybe you need the encouragement of the brethren here. But the invitation, as always, is offered at this time. We'll offer it now. Will you come forward now while together we stand and while we sing?